Hi, this is Don Fluckinger on site at the ICMI Contact Center Expo in Fort Lauderdale, Florida at the Diplomat Resort on the shores of the Atlantic. The beach is right outside. Anyway, I'm here on the Pipeline Podcast with our expert contributor, Scott Sachs of SJS Solutions. He's a consultant and knows a lot about contact center technology, so we're going to discuss the trends we're seeing here on the exhibit hall floor and in the keynotes. Thanks for joining us today, Scott.
Thanks, Don. I'm thrilled to be here with you and thrilled to be down in Florida and looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, we're both from up the East Coast. It's been a brisk 40-odd degrees back in our hometown, so it's killing us that it's 89 out here every day. But anyway, so Scott, what's new here at the ICMI Contact Center Expo? I mean, some advancements in technologies have happened over the last year. What's jumping out at you?
Yeah, I'm very excited about the whole omni-channel movement. Right now what you're seeing is the contact center platforms are migrating all the channels of communication into a single place. So rather than having agents take voice calls in one technology and then moving over to another technology to take emails, they're pushing everything through the agents through a single platform, which is just driving efficiency and operations improvements across the board.
Yeah, and interestingly, I've had a few discussions over the last year with contact center managers, and sort of like the perception used to be that you had talkers and you had typers as far as agents, you know. Maybe the talkers couldn't put a sentence together to write an email or talk on social media, or maybe the writers weren't very gregarious and social, but it seems like now the agents have to be both. Is that what you're finding in your work as a consultant to call centers?
I think they're trying to force the agents to be both, which is a little bit dangerous. What I think you have is you do have your talkers, you have your writers, but then you have this job enrichment opportunity. So if you do have the skill sets to do two different things, speak and write well, now there's job opportunities for you to move up the ladder and take transactions through both channels. So again, you can be very good in one and stay on the voice channel, but if you're talented enough to be able to communicate in two different methods, now you have opportunities for more money, job enrichment, etc. in the future.
Now, where does technology come into all this? I mean, there are assistive technologies to prompt agents with answers, but sometimes they take a little bit of back-end setup. Will technology be helping that? Is it helping it now? What are you seeing?
Well, as we've discussed previously, there's a lot of noise about AI, artificial intelligence, and it's a great opportunity, but I think it's not ready for prime time. There is an opportunity to assist agents, to help them find answers and knowledge databases and direct them to the right solutions, but there's also some limitations with customer interactions. So again, everyone's been touting the AI piece, but you know, I think about something like Siri, and if I use Siri and I get it, and Siri understands me 8 out of 10 times, I'm happy as a consumer. But if I'm in a contact center and I have an 8 out of 10 successful contact rate using artificial intelligence, I'm not gonna be a happy consumer. So I think, you know, you really think about artificial intelligence, it's a platform for the future, it's great as an assistance tool, it may be very good with text type documents, but it's not all there with speech interactions at this point yet.
Well, also Siri, I mean, it's all fun and games when I'm texting my wife and something a little bit saucy comes through the text that I didn't mean to say because Siri has a dirty mind or whatever.
Right.
But it's not cool when you're a multinational bank talking to a customer, no matter what their values are on the other end.
Exactly. You have to be right 99.9% of the time to really implement that type of speech technology into the contact center to be successful. And again, the downside risk is huge. You know, all you need is one error, as we've seen in many organizations, one bad service interaction, and it's all over the place. So you have to be very, very careful with that technology.
What do you make of the contact center as a service applications out there? I mean, the call center world has many old guard platform vendors, and some of them have been in use since before the internet, and then you have these new players coming in, set up a contact center in the cloud, hook it up to your Salesforce or your SAP or your, you know, Oracle right away, boom, and it's in the cloud, and your agents can work anywhere, the telephony's all taken care of. What do you make of this? Do they have a shot of disrupting the industry, or
I'm a big fan of the cloud. I think the cloud provides you with flexibility, access to new technology, and those types of things. Again, a lot of companies, established companies, who have premise-based systems have a lot of built-up infrastructure. And the key is, how do you take all this money you've invested over the past 10 years of back-end systems integration and now be able to tie it into a cloud environment? So again, I think the cloud is a great opportunity, but it is pressing companies to revisit how they've built their desktop systems, their technology teams. I mean, it's a threat to large organizations who may have a 15-person telecom staff, and now they want to bring in cloud technology. They don't need a telecom staff anymore. So there's a lot of emotional stuff out there. There's a lot of history. But I think, the cloud provides the flexibility. The key is defining the business requirements that you're trying to achieve with the cloud, and figuring out what is the most cost-efficient and effective way to tie whatever established technology you have today into these new cloud solutions. And if it doesn't work, then maybe you keep more premise-based systems there.
Also, we've seen in other sectors of the customer experience market that Oracle customers or, running databases, or SAP customers running ERP, or OpenText customers running content management, eventually those vendors offer a cloud runway that is workable for their legacy customers. Do you see the old guard contact center platforms creating cloud environments that maybe, make some of the new startups a little less relevant? You're grinning, you're laughing at me. You're worried that you're going to say something.
Yes, I'm worried I'm going to say something. You got it exactly right. I think some of the old premise type companies have been resting on the past history of their successes. I won't say whom, I prefer not to say whom.
Right.
But they've done it, it's been a great business for them, and they've missed the boat with the cloud. And now you do have some of these other more startup type companies, not startups anymore, they've been around for 5, 10 years, who are just eating their lunch, who are now providing the platforms, and now also the APIs, the integration tools, to take what those other platforms had and steal business. Again, that's why the move to the cloud. And again, it's wild to see what some of these newer companies are doing, and where the older ones, who are trying to make comebacks, they're trying to do what they can financially and tool-wise, but they've lost a lot of ground. And if you look at the independent research, they're not showing up on the research now, and that's a big driver. When I go to clients, they want to know who's in that top box, or who's listed, and some of the older guard companies are not there anymore.
There you go. Love to hear you dropping knowledge. That's why we got you on the podcast today, Scott. So I guess my last question is, when you're looking at contact center as a service on the cloud, hooking up to your Salesforce or Oracle or whatever, any contact center manager I've interviewed, it's clear they've built their performance on metrics, and they've built those metrics on what their software does. They've built training regimens around that to on-ramp their agents who, there's agent turnover in call centers, so they've got it down. Mm-hmm. They've got down their processes to achieve a certain level of performance against KPIs that their leadership has deemed important for their companies. Mm-hmm. How do they rip and replace and go to the cloud? I mean, you say that some of these new startups are eating the old guard's lunch, but right. How does a call center manager make that leap when they might drop 20 points on some KPI?
Yeah, it's hard because, I've been in the contact center for a long time, and some of the KPIs are so easy to measure. That's why they measure. I mean, I always laugh because, you may have a goal of 80% of the calls handled in 20 seconds. Does it really matter versus 80% of the calls in 30 seconds? But because it's a visible, easily measured KPI, people will buy into whatever the right number is, whether it's a driver of customer satisfaction. But what the leadership has to do is really figure out, what are the drivers of satisfaction? Is it, do you have to pick up the phone in 20 seconds, 30 seconds, or is a minute okay? Not that I'm advocating long queue times, but how do you get to that first contact resolution? How do you get to customer effort? So it's pulling the data from research, I'll use voice of the customer, I'll use buzzwords.
Right.
The feedback of what is really important to the customer. Getting that resolution quick. If they gotta wait 5 more seconds on hold, I think it's okay. I shouldn't be saying that, but it's okay. But what are the real drivers? And understand across the whole organization. So when you're looking at customer churn. You know, what's really driving customer churn? Is it they had to wait on the phone for 10 seconds longer, or was it because they had a problem that couldn't get solved? Is it, you know, the marketing material didn't go out correctly? So again, it has to be a much more holistic look at the contact center, how it impacts operations, and not just standalone metrics of service level, abandon rate, and definitely not AHT.
So if I'm hearing you right, you're saying that ripping and replacing your call center platform, if that's where your organization is leaning, is sort of an opportunity to reevaluate and recalibrate your KPIs to for meaningful customer experience, as opposed to just, these are the yardsticks we've always used, damn it.
Yep, it's a reason to relook at it. I mean, whenever you put a new platform in, re-engineer everything. You know, this is sort of like the golden opportunity of, you don't want to take your old processes, whether it's KPIs, training, workflow, and say, let's move from platform A to platform B. Let's use that opportunity to really revisit everything, make it more efficient, make it more employee-friendly. I mean, you know, think about the employees. How can this new system benefit them, make their lives easier? Because, again, if you make their lives easier, the customer's going to be, you know, better off. So just, I think it's a great opportunity to just rip out everything, revisit, and just re-engineer everything to optimize for the technology that's coming in. Technology's an enabler, but you got to build the processes around it to allow that enabler to drive efficiency and a high customer experience.
Thank you very much for the knowledge, Scott. I look forward to reading more of your articles on searchcustomerexperience.com.
Thank you very much, Tom. Good speaking with you.